Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane. And Doctor, of course we love each and every one of our guests, but I got to tell you, the gentleman sitting with us here today is extra close to our hearts.
Well, Luann and Ryan, our guest today certainly is close to our hearts. His name is Dr. Ken Eldred. And he's a Family Talk board member whom we love and appreciate very much. He and I first became acquainted in October of last year when he was a guest on this program. He talked about his books, The Integrated Life and God is at Work, which dealt with the topic of balancing work and family commitments. And it was just very well received by our listeners. Many of them wrote and asked for a copy of those books. In addition to being an author and a friend, Ken is the founder of Ariba Technologies and the CEO of Living Stones Foundation, which is a charitable trust. Now, we could talk about all of that, frankly, but there's something else I want to talk to you about, Ken. In February of this year, during one of our board meetings, actually, I think it was in March, I asked Ken to bring the devotional for the rest of our members. And he did that, and he called it Boundaries. And what he said to us on that day was so meaningful that I asked him to come back and share it with our radio listeners. And he's done that. He's with us today, and it's a delight to have you here, my friend.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Dr. Dobson.
Ken Eldred is married to Roberta, his better half, and we had lunch together. She is a very special lady, and you have three sons, and seven grandchildren.
That's correct.
And you're one blessed man.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us again and for essentially giving us a devotional that you gave before. But you did call it Boundaries, and it came out of a dream that you had 4 or 5 days before that board meeting. Why don't you start by sharing that?
Right. Well, I think our audience will remember that there was a tsunami in Japan. The night before that tsunami, which was, I think, March 12th, I was asleep and I dreamed of a tsunami. And I dreamed that this water came and it was extremely destructive and that it went across the land and across my land in particular, and it destroyed everything in its wake except for where I was.
Now, the tsunami had not yet occurred?
Well, it had. Apparently, while I was dreaming it, it was occurring.
Oh my.
You know, because when I woke up wide awake at 5 o'clock in the morning, went to the computer, was doing some, done a devotional, was doing my email, and I looked at the news, and there was the pictures of the tsunami in Japan, and the Lord really talked to me about what I had seen. I thought, why would I dream this and what is the significance of this? But as I sat there and I watched those early pictures of the water rushing in on the land and taking cars and buildings and earth and piling up debris, it looked a lot like my dream. I couldn't help but think of Psalm 33, verse 7, which says that the Lord makes the boundaries for the ocean, and that he's assigned the sea to its boundaries and locked up the ocean in its vast reservoirs. And I was struck by that thought, and I began to sort of meditate on what does that mean? As Dr. Dobson asked me to do the devotion, I was saying, I don't know what I should talk about. Roberta said, well, you've been talking about boundaries for the last 5 days. Really, I mean, why don't you talk about that? And I realized how important boundaries are to God. Right in the beginning, he said to Adam and Eve, he said, you can have anything in the garden, but don't touch the fruit of that tree. But before that, it says that out of the chaos, he separated the waters from the land. That is the first picture of the boundaries. He was looking at the chaos and the confusion and the mass, and he said, okay, now let's start creating boundaries.
Separated the light from the darkness.
Exactly. So we were starting to see that. And then by the time you get to the end of Revelation, you see that the New Jerusalem comes down and it talks in detail about the walls of the city and the entryway to the city. And it's interesting that when God said to Daniel, he said that we will start the countdown of the coming of the Messiah with the creation of the wall. You know, and what I thought, now, why would he say that? I mean, why would the wall be so important? Because it's a boundary. Even Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, about, you know, I didn't go beyond this point because this was the limit of what God had said for me. Not that it was, you know, against you or I didn't have a right to do that, but that was the boundary. Mm-hmm. And God has created these boundaries within our lives. So understanding that it's really important is, you know, to God. And a dear friend of mine who runs a sports ministry, he trains kids, and they have in their program, they have 12 training moments for children. They're trying to teach them about God, but in the process, they're doing sports. And one of those is a training about boundaries. And the way it works is the coach says to the kids, look, here are the two teams. Go over there, play on that field. Now, the field is specifically set up to be able to teach this lesson. So the kids run off to that field, and they start playing for a few minutes, and the coach deliberately stays behind. You know, after a few minutes, the kids come back, and they go, Coach, this just isn't working. And we'll say, well, why not? Well, one of them will say, there are no boundaries to the field. I mean, how do you know when you're out of bounds? And then another one will say, well, and there's no goal. How do you know when you've reached the goal? I mean, we don't know how – nobody knows how to win if you don't have goals, and there are no goals on the field.
It's just chaos.
You can't. And that – and they said – and he said, that's right. You see, what are the boundaries of life that allow you to play the game, that allow you to be a part of it? And without boundaries in the game, it would never be interesting. Imagine a football game where the folks that are spectators could at any moment go on the field and break up the game because they don't like the way it's going. It would be total chaos. And that's the issue that God talks about in this concept or these issues of boundaries.
Give us some illustrations of that, Ken. What are the behavioral boundaries that help us keep our lives under control?
That's a great question, Doctor. There are lots of areas. To start with, he deals with marriage and the family. What are the boundaries within the marriage that make it work? You know, if somebody begins to walk out on his or her spouse, it creates enormous difficulties. And the thing that's interesting about boundaries is that when we cross a boundary, and this is what God was impressing on me about this tsunami, the destruction is great. So in a marriage, you know, it's staying faithful to a spouse. You know, in relationship with children, it's staying, you know, it's providing an environment where there are limitations and boundaries. I mean, I've heard you speak before about the schoolyard where when the kids didn't have a wall that bounded their play area, they would stay on the porch. They would never go out and enjoy the play area because they didn't know where the boundaries were.
Or huddle in the center of the field, that there is security in knowing that the safety takes you out to that fence.
Right.
And on the other side of it, it's unpredictable. And the kids wouldn't even go to the fence. They huddled around the center.
Exactly.
Ken, see if this illustration holds. We had, when I was a boy, a system of moral values that people believed in, even if they weren't Christians. There were some things that were just wrong. My grandfather was not a Christian until 2 weeks before he died. But if he told you something and shook hands with you on it, you could take it to the bank, so to speak, because there was an understanding of right and wrong, true and untrue. And now that's broken down so that people argue about whether or not something that a congressman did recently was really a bad thing. Well, he didn't break any law, so what was wrong with it? You know, because we don't trust the moral system.
Right. You know, I was thinking about my father, who was in World War II, was working on a top secret project. And in 1970, I remember asking him, Dad, what was that top secret project you were working on? And he said, I can't tell you. I said, Dad, the war's over. You know, whatever it was has probably long since been developed. And he said, I made an oath that I would not tell anyone what I was doing. I'm not going to tell you.
Wow.
And it wasn't until the Freedom of Information Act that I found out that he was working on radar.
Hmm.
You know, but that, you know, and that was the top secret that he was doing during the war. But, you know,
but
this
he
was
never
just,
told you.
He never told me. I had to go find out.
Dad, you can look all throughout society and see things like this. Sports contracts get broken regularly. People sign their name on a contract, agreeing to work, albeit a sport, for X number of dollars. And a few years down the road, they go, I think I ought to be making more money. Well, why does that matter? You signed a contract agreeing to pay for this. Until that contract is up, you should be willing to work for what you signed your name to. But that's commonplace.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Eldred, it's probably because I'm parenting two teenagers right now. But if I go home and I want to set boundaries in my family, it's not very well received. They're looked at as restrictive, prohibitive, negative. How do I combat that as a parent?
Keep fighting. Well, my kids, I told them when they were growing up, nothing good happens after midnight. That's why you have to be home. And you know what my kids say to their kids?
Nothing good happens after midnight.
That's why you have to be home.
But there's this perception amongst teenagers especially
that boundaries are somehow restricted.
You got it. You got it. Well, you are no fun. You know, you're tyrannical and all of that.
Well, you know, we live here in Colorado, and there is a gorge here called the Royal Gorge, and there's a bridge that goes over that's really scary. You've been there, Luann.
It is, and it's a bridge to nowhere, but they just wanted to cross that ravine.
Yeah. Well, what would happen if you were walking across that bridge and there were no guardrails on the sides?
You know, I would walk right down the middle,
right
hanging on.
Down the middle, because there is security in knowing that guardrail is there. Even though you're not going to go up to it and you're certainly not going to lean over it because it'd scare you to death. You walk down the center if there is no boundary. Boundaries give us security. Boundaries protect us and help us protect ourselves.
And actually give us more freedom.
Actually do. So what looks like a restriction is actually the source of freedom. Is that you are saying?
That is right. Boundaries are the source of our freedom, because God is the source of our freedom. And the freedom can only come when we live within the boundaries that God has created for us. You know, there will be a day when there will be no boundaries because we will be fully enmeshed with Him. But today, we have these limits so that we can have the freedom that He wants to give us.
You know, I think of maybe one of the very best boundaries that are established has to do with the marital contract. When you stand at the altar and you say, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others. Man, that is a boundary. Mm-hmm. That you have set up. You are voluntarily committing yourself to another person. And then, our critics who don't really support the idea of the family and marriage anyway will say, that's just a piece of paper. It doesn't matter what it says. It's of no consequence. The truth of the matter is you set up a boundary and now you're tearing it down.
Mm-hmm.
Take this concept further, as you did in the board meeting, Ken.
Great. God showed me something else, and He said that oftentimes in boundaries, we step across the spiritual boundaries. So we end up wanting to do the things that are God's job. And then we take responsibility for things that are God's, and we start to worry, and we start to be overwhelmed and burdened because God never gave us that responsibility. It was something that He's responsible for. You know, an example would be, I'm really worried about what's going to happen to our country in the next couple of years. Well, you know, we can be concerned and we can do certain things, but to worry, that's God's. God is responsible for these things that are going on in our future. He will be there. He will walk with us through these kind of things. To endlessly worry about something that is not our ability to control, because it's God's, gets us into a very difficult place. And what God wants in our lives is peace. You know, and when we walk across that boundary, it's just like that water coming out of the ocean. and we start messing up things right and left. We wear ourselves out. We find ourselves exhausted. We take on responsibilities that were never given to us in the first place.
Well, that's a really good point, Dr. Eldred, because I think of the parent listening right now who's watching their son or daughter cross those boundaries. Mm. And they're not doing it themselves, but they're sitting here wringing their hands, observing a teenager who's gone off the deep end or someone who's living an immoral lifestyle. And you're saying, would that same thing apply? That's God's responsibility right now.
Yes. We see this where we need to spend the time thinking about what is it that we can do? What is it that God has called us to do in not only a parenting relationship, but also in our work lives? You know, and in, you know, God has put us on the earth for a purpose. Most people have not really taken the time to understand what is the purpose God has given us to do. You know, and therefore, we don't know when to stop if we're type A's, mm-hmm. because that's never enough. Mm-hmm. And we end up wearing ourselves out, burning ourselves out, and never experiencing the peace and the spiritual joy that comes with the satisfaction of knowing we have done what God has called us to do.
Well, you talked about this in our last broadcast in Work Lives, and I have to say that had a profound effect on my life and my family, of looking at our lives and saying what is important to us and are we taking intentional steps to achieve that? Or are we just going along with the flow to the path of least resistance? If I want to have a good marriage, which I say is important to me, what are the intentional mm-hmm. steps I'm taking to ensure that my communication with Laura is up to par, that we're on the same page together? If I want Lincoln to be healthy and happy and well-adjusted, what am I doing specifically to create an environment for him? And so many of these things are boundaries. If I'm letting things that may not be as important, invade those areas, and I'm letting them override those boundaries, then I'm really not following through with what I say I believe.
We see that a lot. There's another flip side of this to boundaries, and that is they're what I would call false boundaries. There was a professor at Stanford when I was there many, many years ago. His name is Zimbardo, and he created a very famous experiment, the Zimbardo experiment. And one of the things that you couldn't do today, but he took a puppy. And he put this puppy in a cage, and he put the cage on the back porch of his house. He took care of it. He fed it. He, cared for it. He did everything you would with a puppy, with the exception of taking it out of the cage until it was a year old. He wanted to see in his experiment what would happen. Well, during that year, the puppy would get up, do the stretch, turn around a couple times, lie down again. At the end of the year, he took the cage away and put the puppy on the back porch. And now a young dog would get up, stretch, turn around, lie down again. You see, the bars that had been removed were now in his mind. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it leads to two things in boundaries. One is that we, as parents, often put raw, false boundaries on our children. You can't do that. You're lazy. You're not. Mm. And we start the you're not, you don't, and all the negative things as opposed to, you're really good at this. Let's see if we can build on this. Let's see. I'm so proud of you for what you've done here. And unfold them. And likewise in our own lives, unfold our own lives.
Doctor, I quote this all the time. You brought it up in Bringing Up Boys, where you talk about the fact that as a parent, I can say no. But it's that there is so much more to say no to right now. Yeah. And I just get this visual sometimes that I'm standing at my front door, literally pushing against it with both hands, saying enough, nothing more can come in against my family. And I know my parents dealt with that. But I tell you, I just feel like it is exponential now, the number of boundaries I have to put around my home.
Let me give you an example of that, Lou Ann. I grew up in a very conservative family in a conservative church. And there are a lot of things that I couldn't do that other people were able to do.
I wasn't allowed to swim on Sundays.
We didn't do anything on Sundays in our household. Yeah. We went to eat and we would come home. I didn't go to Little League practice. We didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, my point is that in that kind of world where there are so many no's that have to be imposed for whatever reason, you should say yes every chance you can.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when I was in high school, we didn't dance. I mean, I'm sorry, we just didn't dance. And so when the prom came along, I couldn't go. And it was hard for me. But my mother found ways to say yes. And after football games, there would be something called slumber parties. The girls would have the slumber parties, and the guys would come, not to sleep, but just it was a party. And sometimes it would go on till 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, he's pretty reckless, wasn't he, Ryan?
Yeah, but my mother,
good happens after
my mother knew she could trust me. She could trust me in that situation. And so she allowed me to come in the middle of the night because it was something I could do. And I didn't take advantage of it.
That is a great point. And it's so important, too, as a mom, that I show them that I am limited by boundaries. This is not just that you're under my dictatorship right now, that I have boundaries that I follow, too. So it's not just, I think my kids think that, well, it's not fair. I'm a teenager. You get to do whatever you want. And it's important to point out as parents, I don't get to do everything I want, and you won't either.
Well, here's a wonderful thing that sort of came out of all of this to me was that God's plan is love. And he says that all the commandments can be summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. And we can apply that, I think, to today's environment. You know, we can love our way through this with our kids. You know, we can restrict ourselves to the boundaries we create for them to show them we are willing to walk in them just as Jesus walked in those boundaries because of his love for us. You know, so boundaries are overcome by the antidote, which is the love of God.
I think of that scripture that talks about, Lord, you have set my boundaries in pleasant places, you know, and for each one of us, he's carved out that spot for us. And in his design, they are pleasant places. I don't know why I fight them so much.
That is a great scripture on which to end our discussion because that really does say it, that not all boundaries are negative. They
That's
don't
right.
all hem us in. They're there to protect us. And if we live within them, we are successful. And if we don't, we pay a price for it.
Absolutely.
Well, our guest has been Dr. Ken Eldred, who is a board member of Family Talk. And it's always a pleasure to have you here. And we're going to have a board meeting tomorrow. I appreciate your participation. I told you, you are a godsend to this ministry, and I mean it. And this devotion that you gave spoke to all of us.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited about what God is doing here at Family Talk. He has provided in ways that we could never have anticipated. We are just a year old, and yet the number of people that are interested in Family Talk is increased by a factor of thousands of percent. You know, and our Facebook page is growing like crazy. Our people that are interested in seeing what's happening are a reaffirmation of the role that you have always played, Dr. Dobson, in not only families today, but when my children were young. Mm-hmm. Most of the ideas that I came up with for our family came from your books, you know, and listening to the broadcast, watching the movie that you did originally many years ago in our church. And learning that, you know, there are answers and that if we can listen and we have an opportunity, we have somebody to help us. And this is what this ministry does. And I'm so thankful that you are, all three of you are on the air making a difference in this country.
Well, I ask our listeners to remember us in prayer because we are attempting to make a difference in the lives of families and individuals out there and young people, children. And it is all for naught if the Lord doesn't come in and bless it. And that's what we pray and ask the Lord to do every day. Before we do a radio broadcast like today, the last thing we do before the broadcast begins is to dedicate what we're doing to the Lord. And today, Ryan, you prayed before we started.
Amen.
And so, again, thank you, Ken, for being with us and for your love and support of this ministry. It is deeply appreciated.
It's a pleasure to work with you, Dr. Dobson. Thank you.
And Dr. Aldred, on behalf of all the staff, we just want to say thank you for the leadership that you provide as a member of our board. Mm-hmm. Ryan, let's link to his website from familytalk.org. Listeners can request both of his books there.
Yes, both of which I am a huge fan of.
Yes, you are.
They're titled The Integrated Life and God is at Work. Again, you can find out where you can request those at familytalk.org. Also there, you can review an excerpt from God is at Work. It's Chapter 3, and it's called Defining Kingdom Business.
Again, that's all at familytalk.org. While you're there, would you consider becoming a monthly supporter of Family Talk? We are entirely listener-supported and cannot continue to bring you broadcasts and resources like this without your partnership.
Or if you prefer, you can donate when you call, and our phone number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.